It's so good. And I want to share some thoughts. And I was thinking about, what do I share this morning? And, you know, after this week, there's just been such a theme of what God's been speaking about and what God's been saying over this week. And I just really feel that there's some things I want to touch on this morning that I believe will encourage you. But not just encourage you, I believe there's some things in the Word today that will challenge you to take that step that Guy was talking about. You know, I thought about John 10:10 quite a bit over the last few weeks, and John 10:10 basically says that the thief comes to rob, to steal, and to destroy, but I, this is Jesus speaking, says, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. And we say that scripture, and we know that scripture, and we use that scripture, but you know, very few of us recognize that that scripture in a big way is a reference to the journey that Israel took when they left Egypt. In Egypt, they were in a place where they were in slavery. They were in a place where their dignity, their life, their everything was being depleted and destroyed. And Egyptian slavery was about making them worth nothing. And so God came through Moses to set them free, and they exited out of that place. God literally delivered them out of slavery. They got to the place called the wilderness, but they weren't totally set free in the wilderness because they were free, but they had not acquired the full promise that God has for them. And so they had to finalize the journey by crossing over the Jordan into the promised land. I'm just recapping to give you a bit of an Old Testament picture of a New Testament reality. And the reason I do that is because I firmly believe that there are many Christians who live their life not in Egypt, but not in the promised land. They sort of have made the journey out of Egypt. They've been saved. They've been set free. They're out of that captivity, but somehow they have not yet entered into a place in God where they are partakers of all of the promises that God has for them. And so my thought this morning, and what's really settling in my heart, is that I believe God wants to truly liberate His people to a place where we live in the abundant life that Jesus promises us in John 10:10. So when you give your life to Jesus, that's a great day because you got set free from the slave markets of the earth. But I believe there's a place where we enter in with God where it's not about, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, but a place where you truly gain the sonship, the inheritance, the living in Christ that is totally free. You are a son of God in a sense. You're free. And so I want to touch on that a little bit today, if you will let me. I believe that for many of us, there are Jordans to cross. For many of us, there may be more than one Jordan to cross. I believe sometimes in life, we will experience more than one time where we have to overcome something that is standing between us and the freedom and the full liberty and to be set free in Christ. Amen? So I want to touch on that this morning. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank You, we thank You, we thank You, Lord, that You're a good, loving Father. We thank You, Lord, today that we can come into Your house amongst Your people and experience the fullness of Your truth and Your promise and Your generosity in our lives. And I pray, Lord, this morning, take the water that I bring and turn it into wine. Take what I have, Lord, and make it Holy Spirit inspired. Bring it to a place where it will truly change people's minds, hearts, and lives. I thank You for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So just I already quoted John 10:10, but Deuteronomy 11:31, it's just one verse. I'm sure you know it. It basically says this: "For you will cross over the Jordan and go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you, and you will possess it and dwell in it." And basically, that's a promise that God gave to His people, that He is not holding out some secretive place, some secretive inheritance that they could never be part of. It is there. It's available. It's for them to be part of. And that's why I love the story of the Jordan. I love the story because it says to us that God is a promise maker and God is a promise keeper. God is faithful in what He says. God tells us that we don't have to stay the same. If you're looking in the mirror today and you're saying, I don't like what I see, well, the Jordan tells me I don't have to stay the same. I don't have to be stuck in a situation. I don't have to struggle endlessly just to survive. I can thrive in the fullness that is in Christ. And so that's why I love the story, and I want to touch on that a little bit. Now, I want to just sort of maybe just sum it up a little bit, because there's so much download we got this week and a few things that's really stirring in my heart. I guess you understand that faith and the promises of God is not symbolic. You know, when God promises us things, it's not a theory. When God tells us that this is my word and this is my promise for you, it's actually real. It's true, and you can stand on it. You, as they said in the old days, you can take it to the bank. It's worth something. When God speaks to you, you can believe in it. And I say that because a lot of Christians live in such a way as that's a good promise in the Bible. It's a good comment in the Bible. That is what God said in the sermon, but they don't actually embrace and take it into their own life. And so the Israelites got to the edge of the river. They're in this place, and there was no bridge, and there was no boat, and the river was in flood. The Bible tells us that if there's no bridge and there's no boat, but there is a God, that's okay. Yeah. How often have you gotten to a situation, a difficulty in your life, and there was no bridge and there was no boat, but you had God? God is all you need. You know, you may be facing a river in your life right now that's in flood, that's in its peak season, it's impossible to cross, and you may say, what do I do with this? I want to tell you today, if you have God, God is all you need. A few things in that story is we find that they crossed the river on dry soil. Have you ever thought about where Jesus started his ministry? Where Jesus first got baptized by John? Where was that? At the entrance to the wilderness. Have you ever considered that? I said to you in the beginning, John 10:10 is a picture of what happened in the old, when Jesus got baptized in the very place where they celebrate the people coming out of captivity. And then he went back into the wilderness, remember, to be tested, to be shown that he is the Son of Christ. Have you ever thought about the fact that when Jesus comes into your life, he was baptized to set you free from the old and bring you into the new? That story tells us that the river stopped in a place called Adam. Well, here's another thing I want to ask you. Have you ever thought about where did our sin problem start? A man by the name of Adam. And so when we think about the Jordan River, we're not just thinking about the fact that Jesus stopped it there and turned it around, but also the fact that when Jesus came, he took sin right back. What was he? The second Adam, wasn't he? He took it right back to the first Adam, and he said, from this point on, I am in charge. What didn't happen when that river stopped? Water no longer flowed into the Dead Sea. I'm Afrikaans first language, English my second language. I always use it as an excuse. The water didn't just stop at Adam. It also stopped flowing into the Dead Sea, which means it baptized you and take you out of the of the world that has kept you. He also stopped sin from Adam to no longer have power and authority over your life, and he robs death, hell, and the grave of its right to your life. Have you thought about that? So let me start again. We're crossing the Jordan River. If you're going to cross the Jordan River, there's a few thoughts for you this morning, and it's all got to do with faith. I love faith, because without faith, we cannot please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want to please God by living in such a way that I believe every word he says and I honor him with every action and every thought that I have. So my first point, and I'm a point preacher, so those narrative preachers who says a lot and you never know what points to take, you won't have that problem with me. My first point is, we all need a forward-looking faith. We all need a forward-looking faith. We all need a faith that looks forward, a faith that can see something ahead of us. Now, it's good. It's good to remember the things that God has done in our lives. It's good to remember the times when God's shown up and how God has moved in our lives. But you know what? If you look back all the time, you will end up focusing more on the things you've lost and less on the things you've gained. There is a time where you point back and you say, God was with me then and he was faithful. But there also is a time when you say, I am not living there anymore. I'm moving forward in my faith. Because the reality is, every one of us in this room, including me, have lost things. We've all lost something somewhere along the way. We lost dreams. You may have lost relationships. You may have lost something that was in your heart. You may have lost money. You may have lost things. There may have been a dream in your heart and it didn't work out the way you wanted it to. There could be all kinds of things. Maybe somebody's here today and you've lost a job. We have all lost something. And it's not nice when you lose things, because when you lose things, a state of grieving takes a hold of your heart. And grieving can squeeze your heart to a place where you feel like I'm diminishing, I'm becoming small. And that's why we love the idea. We all need to have Jordans in our lives, because Jordans is a place where I say, I'm crossing over this thing. I'm moving out of this territory. Jordans are the kind of places that reminds us that there is a God in heaven and he is in control. And this does not have to stay the same. Jordan is a place of saying, I'm stepping out of that and stepping into something new. Amen. You don't have to get too excited, but I'll still preach loudly. God is still God and he's still on the throne. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't get a lot of do-overs in life. You know, you sometimes get the opportunity to say, Lazarus, come out of the grave, and he shows up. But often when we lose stuff, when things fall apart and when things are gone, they're gone. And we've got to find a way to say, God, I can't live with this, but with you, God, all things are possible, and I've got to believe you in this. We rarely get new beginnings, but when we get them, we've got to take advantage of them in Jesus Christ. Here's another thought for you. On this journey called life, you don't get to choose your Jordans. You get to choose whether you'll move forward or not. On this journey of life, you don't get to choose whether the Jordan is going to be there or not, but you can choose with God what you're going to take with you when you cross the Jordan. And that's often the reason people never cross over their Jordans, because we're really good luggage carriers. You know, they tell you on the airline, you can only have one bag, but you'll always find the person with three bags. You know, this is my donuts, and this is my handbag, and this is my other suitcase. We're good luggage carriers, but we do it in the spirit too. God brings us a Jordan. He wants to set us free, take us out of that place, but we want to drag everything with us. But Jordan is a great opportunity to say, I will cross this river, I'll move into something new, and what was is gone. What is ahead of me. Thought about it. What if what's behind there was meant to stay there? Have you ever thought about it? As painful and as hard as it is to lose things, what if God has something better for you? And you keep grieving over that which you don't have anymore. You keep holding on to that which you cannot keep. And God's saying, let go so I can take you somewhere. Life is going to have challenges in it, but life's going to have rewards too. You know, we can't just see the things behind us. We've got to look for the things that are ahead of us. And, you know, I don't know what the future holds for you. I don't know what the future holds for me. But I do know who holds the future. Amen. I don't know what your story is going to look like. I don't know what your next chapter is going to be. But I know the author, and he knows the beginning and the end. And we can trust him in that. You know, and one thing I can tell you is the Bible says God only thinks good things for you. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts to prosper you and to bless you and to bring your life into something beautiful. God does not think evil towards us. So let's look forward and let's see where God can take us. Give your faith something to look forward to. That's a little bit of a play on my point. Give your faith something to look forward to. Look forward unto the Lord and see what He has for you. My second point is we need a stand between faith. Not only do we need to have a faith that can look forward, but we also need a faith that can stand between. Here's the thing, the priests, they got to this space where the river was raging, things were going crazy, and they had to take a step of faith into that river, and the river didn't stop flowing until they started walking. Now, if it was me, I would have said, well, now that it's dried up, I'm running for the other side. But they had a mandate. Walk to the river, the middle of the river, and stand there until all of the people have come across. We find in Ephesians 6:13, it says, when you have done everything you can do, stand. Some of you are only here today because you stayed standing. Have you thought about it? Come on, think about your story today. Some of you are only victorious today because you stayed standing. Others ran away. Others fell by the wayside. Some became lukewarm. Some chose another way. But you stayed standing. And because you stayed standing, guess what? You're still here. We think, oh, I've got to have all of these weapon and armory, and I've got to be able to fight the devil on every side. Sometimes the best thing is stability, stickability. I'm standing here until God says I'm going to move. It's not because you got everything right. It's not because you never felt weak or you never felt out of it. It's not because you always hit the mark. It's just because you trusted God in the middle of your circumstances and you said, I know that every part of my being says, run now. But God said, stand, and I'm standing. We need a faith in the middle because we have a God who stands in the middle. We have a God who doesn't wait for your dysfunction to go away before He helps you. We've got a God who meets you in the middle of that dysfunction, in the middle of that problem, in the middle of that circumstance, and says, I am here with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's why I can't figure out why people have this logic that, you know, when I get everything that I need, then I will serve God. When I have my life sorted out and I got this problem all fixed up, then I will serve God. We have a God who meets us in the middle, and He will walk you through. And if you wait till the end, and you wait till everything is perfect, and you wait till everything falls in line, you may get to the end of your line, and God has been waiting for you. What a missed opportunity. Stand in the middle faith. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I love the fact not only that we can look forward to God's promises, that while we're on that journey and we're in the middle and it doesn't make sense. And by the way, I thought of this point when I saw your picture of the waves on your logo, and I thought, wow, what a testimony. Man alone, these waves as big as houses, mountains, buildings, whatever. But with God, all things are possible. I come alive in the river. Have you heard that song? What a beautiful song. I come alive in the river. In the middle of it all, there God is. Me and God, we can do all things. My third point is, so we're not only looking at a faith that looks forward, we're not only looking at a faith that can stand in the middle, but we also have to have a completion faith. We also have to have a faith that has a finishing anointing. You know, there's so many people who have a starting anointing, but they never finish anything. But I promise you, when God starts something in your life, He has every intention of completing it. When God begins something in your life, He has no thought in His mind that He's going to leave it unfinished. So why do we enter into our Christian walk sometimes thinking that, you know, we're just going to leave stuff as they are. We're not going to push through. Why would you start crossing the river if you're not planning to get out the other side? That's as simple as I can put it. Why would we start the Christian walk if we don't believe that God can bring it all through? Why follow Jesus if you don't expect Him to change things in your life? Maybe you're sitting here today. Maybe there's some stuff in your life you think, oh, this will never change. Can I challenge that? Take that lid off. Take that lid off. It may be difficult. It may be impossible. It may be too big for you to comprehend. The logic of it may be beyond your understanding. But if God starts something, sure, he's able to complete it. A finishing anointing, a place of trusting God. God is with you. He will sustain you. He will keep you. He will overcome you. The victory is yours. The victory is there. The testimony is there. How do we get that finishing anointing? How do we have that completion faith? By making a decision right now that I don't know when or where this is going to finish, but I'm coming out of this stronger. I'm coming out of this wiser. I'm coming out of this better. I don't know what this thing is meant for, but I'm not going to be a victim of this thing. My hands are going to be full of glory when I come out of this thing. My testimony is going to shake the world. My story is going to be so phenomenal because God has been with me when I started. God is with me in the middle, and God's going to get me through this. It changes your perspective. It changes the way you see things, and it changes your faith, because now I'm not saying that I'm just holding on, hopefully, to get to the other side. Now I'm saying God is building a testimony here, and if God's doing it, it's going to be spectacular. So it's not just about getting through the river, it's about getting over it. And that leads into my last point I'm going to bring up in a moment. It's not just about getting through the river. It's about getting over it. Those aren't the same. Those two things aren't the same. Getting through the river means I start at one point and I finish in another point. But getting over the river is saying, that's behind me. I'm over it. That is behind me. We need a get over it faith. I think more Christians need a I'm over it faith than anything else. I'm over it. I'm done with it. That was yesterday. This is today. That addiction that used to hold me, I'm over it. That's behind me. That habit that used to get me, I'm over it. I've had it. I'm done. That memory that used to play in my mind and play in my heart, I'm over it. I'm done with it. It's over. It's yesterday. We need an I'm over it faith. Because too many of us, we want to live in the promised land, but somehow we're carrying all the baggage from the old land where we weren't happy, we didn't like it, it wasn't what we wanted, we were flogged every day, we had to work in the mud, we had to make bricks, we had to eat all the horrible stuff that we could find, and then we think it's so great. We were doing all of that stuff, we didn't like it at all, but somehow we want to carry all of that stuff into our promised land. I'm over it. Got to make a decision, cut that line and say, Jesus promised me an abundant life. You know what the Amplified translation of abundant life is? So much that it overflows. What is it that still trips you up? I'm over it. What is it that still creeps up on you when you didn't expect it? I'm over it. What is it when you wake up in the morning and you just can't face the day because your whole inner being is so sucked up into a state of depression? I'm over it because Jesus didn't die for me to live that way. I'm over it. You know, I love it when Jesus healed the crippled man. He raised him up, but guess what he told him to do? Now pick up your mat and take it home. Take it away from me. Get it out of here. The thing that you used to sit on, the thing that used to define you, the thing that used to say who you were, take it away from here. It used to carry you, now you carry it. And why that's so profound to me is because when we get saved and we get delivered and we get through some things, sure, those things are going to pop up again. Yes, those things are going to come and show up and start whispering in your ear. But remember, you carrying the mat, it's not carrying you. The thing that used to hold you no longer holds you because of Jesus Christ. You pick it up and you tell it what it is. It's just a mat. I'm over it. We need that anointing. We need to take that position of faith. We need to take that place in life saying, I am moving forward in Jesus Christ. That river has been sanctified. Jesus was baptized in it. Sin was stopped at Adam. Death has been robbed of its bounty. I'm over it in Jesus Christ. I know that I'm still struggling, but I'm over it in Jesus' name. I know this thing still holds me, but I'm over it in Jesus' name. I know I'm going round and round, but you got to get it. Because I want to leave you with a seed thought that next time that thing pops up, you say, I'm over you in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been pastoring a long time, and you know what? We got counseling officers, and we got counselors, and we got people coming in. And you know the majority of Christians who come in for counseling, they come in for things that somewhere along the line, they had to stand up off that mat, pick that mat up, and take it home. But we don't get over it. When Jesus said, there's my Jordan. Cross into your promise. Walk in what I have for you. This year, I'm sad to say, will not be different to last year unless you decide that you're over it. I don't care what happened to you last year. I don't care what happened to you 5 years ago. It's not that I'm inconsiderate and I don't have compassion. I know that some of those things probably cut you really deep. But if you're going to live there, this year is not going to be any different than last year. This experience you're having right now won't be different to last year because Jesus says, cross the river into my promised land. Let's just take a moment. I feel this is the right time. You don't know me. You don't know much about me. You know nothing about me. So all you can take from me today is just what I brought. And I believe the core thought that's in my message today, that's pressing on me so strongly, is get over it. There are some things right now, and I'm not trying to be inconsiderate in any way. I'm trying to challenge you in the promises of what Jesus Christ has made available to you. The enemy has come to rob from you, to steal from you, and to destroy from you. But Jesus said, that's not my agenda. That's not my plan for you. That's not what I've set apart for you. I paid the price so that you may have life and you may have it more abundantly. And if you would cross over the river from the place of bondage and of slavery into a place of trusting me, believing in me, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a place, it's not going to be all easy. There are going to be challenges, there are going to be things, and guess what? There will be other rivers. But in that place, I am with you, and I will walk with you through the trials, but you will eat of the land. You will eat of the bounty of my promises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, right now. Thank you, Jesus, right now. Lord, I know that those who have to be here are here today. I thank you today. My God, I pray that you would rise up in your spirit within them today with that I'm over it in their hearts right now. I know, I just sense there are some people, you're struggling with emotional pain. There's things that have happened to you. I just sense a lot of relational pain, a lot of relationship difficulties. There are things where it seems like the enemy has come with one dagger after another, and your emotions and your heart has been so wounded that you're saying, I just grieve all the time. My heart is so wounded. I want to say to you today, Jesus said, you're over it. He will bring healing back into your heart. He may not give you those relationships back. He may not get to a place where you can have it all again, but he will bring healing into your life, and he may have a better place for you going forward. I don't know who I'm talking to, but it's just really, really pressing in on me. Don't grieve what is behind you. Embrace what God has before you. And if God wants to raise the dead, he will. But that's not up to you. Father God, right now, whoever that is, in Jesus' name, right now, thank you, Lord, for your ministering spirit today to bring comfort and to bring healing and to bring breakthrough. We're over it, Lord. We're over the crying in the middle of the night. We're over the depression and the sadness. We're over being stuck and feeling helpless. We're over feeling like we're useless and have no value. We're over it in Jesus' name. That's not who we are. I declare today that we are your beloved children. We are your sons and your daughters. You loved us. You've made an inheritance available to us. You've given us your word. You've given us your name. You have stirred within us enough faith, Lord, that we could, like a mustard seed, we could declare to the mountain that it should be cast into the sea. We thank you, Lord, today that you said that we should not worry, that you have taken care of our every need. Oh, this anxiety we have that we won't make it through this week, that we won't make it through this month, that we don't have enough. We break that curse today in Jesus' name. We have all that we need in Jesus Christ, and God is our supplier. We may not know where it's going to come from, but we know it will come in Jesus' name. We break it today because we're over it. We're no longer subject to Egypt's rule. In Jesus' name today.